Well, you know, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the individual anointings that are on the gifts of the Spirit. It's important to understand that. Because if there's an anointing on the gift of the Spirit, it's not about stupid human tricks or looking spiritual. It's about real, raw power to what? Remove burdens and destroy yokes. Say that the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So when we're talking about the gifts, all nine of them, there is an anointing that's released that has something to do with removing burdens and destroying yokes. That's just to say that all of us should value these intensely.
Yeah.
Amen.
You should want them, desire them. In your church, say good amen.
Amen.
But also in your own daily life. A couple of things that Wilma prayed, pray by the Holy Spirit, pray through word of knowledge. Those things are important.
Yes.
But did you know that God can use you the same way?
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. And He wants to use you.
Why?
Because there are just so many people out there going through so many things, and the natural is not going to solve them.
No.
I mean, look at this crazy world. If they were going to fix it, they'd fix it. But the bottom is they can't. So think of it this way. The insertion of these gifts give God the opportunity to do something about the craziness that's out there and apply divinity to the natural disasters that are everywhere. So say it one more time. There's an anointing. On each gift of the Spirit, removing burdens and destroying yokes. We talked about the word of knowledge and how that is a piece of the mind of God delivered to us. And when we receive some bit of knowledge, whether it's somebody struggling with something or there's a need going on or we need to pray about something, we should ask God what to do with that word of knowledge. In other words, He's not revealing something just because He's bored. Can I have an amen? Well, I got nothing else to do, so I'll reveal a piece of my knowledge. No. He's the most purposeful being in the universe. He does everything with purpose. There's nothing in the Word that's there by accident, and there's no filler in the Word of God. Amen.
Right.
And so when it comes to the Word of knowledge, He reveals something to us, and I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me through the years where God has used somebody to deliver a word to me, and it was life-changing. And so we have to get in a position where we want God to use us. Say that with me. I want God to use me. In other words, it's time for you to take your little spectator glasses off.
Yeah, that's right.
And get in the game.
Amen.
You know, John Maxwell used to say this all the time. He goes, you know, you go to a football game, and he said that the football game is a lot like the church. There's 22 men on the field that desperately need some rest, and 50,000 people in the stands that desperately need some exercise. And that's the way it is in the church. Well, they'll do it. You know, the official word of knowledge person will take care of that. The official tongue person will take care of that. You've got to get into the game.
All right.
Amen. Said, I'm getting into the game.
Amen.
And you say, well, what if I fumble? You probably will.
Yeah.
What if I get hit? You probably will.
Yeah.
What do you do when you get hit and you fall down?
You get back up again.
I don't know why it is in the church we think we have to be perfect before we can engage ourselves in serving God. You're not going to be perfect.
Nope.
I know that comes as a revelation to you, but one day, but not by your power, not by your strength, not by your doing, but by His. And so I want to just make this as plain as I can. We don't expect you to be a perfect specimen of a Christian before you start being used in the gifts of the Spirit. Availability is what He's looking for. Humility is what He's looking for. I can remember a time when God first used me in a time in a public service years ago over in those domes. I didn't feel like, you know, I was doing very well at all spiritually. But how many know when God comes on you, you know He's coming on you. You have to perceive that and then yield to that. Another one of those gifts that we talked about, we're going back to the word of knowledge. See, that anointing on the word of knowledge is anointing for insight and information. Say it, insight.
And information.
You couldn't know that except God revealed it to you. You couldn't possibly know that situation unless God revealed it to you. One of my favorite stories I told you before, but I was at Lambert Field taking my sister to the airport. And I'm watching this because I'm not really walking with God and I'm certainly not spirit-filled. And she taps the guy in front of her on the back, you know, and he turns around. He says, you know, Lord will deliver you that cocaine addiction if you'll just turn your life over to Him. Now, how many understand you better be right when you do something like that? But how are you going to find out if you're right if you don't do it? And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I kind of backed up a little bit. I don't know if he had turned around and do something violent or what, but he just simply said, how could you possibly know that? And big, big crocodile tears welled up in his eyes. And that man, I believe, was deliberate, standing in line to get his ticket at Lambert Field in St. Louis. That's the power of just simply yielding to what God wants us to be and to do. Say it, it's real. One word from God can change your life forever. Let me say to you, one word from God. A word of knowledge is a word from God can change your life forever. That can change somebody's life forever if you'll just obey God. Amen. The word of wisdom is not just a piece of information, but actually an action plan. It's an anointing for action. It's what to do. And unlike the word of knowledge, it deals with the past and the present primarily. The word of wisdom deals primarily with what to do now. It's here's a word in season, what you need to do to take care of this situation. And how many know God can fix anything? So just don't limit this to church and to spiritual things. A word of wisdom can come to you about your work, about your family, about a circumstance. You can be broken down on the highway, and here comes a word of wisdom about what to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you don't know what to do, God has a way of providing that wisdom for you and for me. Certainly He does it in a spiritual context. He's blessed us through the years many times with a word of wisdom. Didn't know how to handle something, didn't know what to do, but God in His mercy knows exactly what to do every single time. So be careful exhausting all your natural remedies before you go to Him.
Amen.
Just go to Him first. Yes. Say it with me, go to Him first. You say, well, how does this work? Well, one of the ways this works is you pray and you seek God and you stay open. Maybe that word of wisdom comes to you immediately. Maybe it comes weeks later. I found out that after I pray in the Holy Ghost and rest in His presence, and maybe at the dawn of a new morning, you know, or just about to fall to sleep, all of a sudden, wham, something will come. That's why you always need to be ready to preserve what He tells you. Let's just think about this just objective for a moment. If you get a word of wisdom, who'd it come from? Is it not worth then writing down? God just spoke to you. You mean you're telling me you're one of those nuts that believes that God speaks to people?
Yeah,
not a nut, but I believe God speaks to people.
That's right. Amen.
And I mean, there's some people out there in the body of Christ that think you're nuts for saying something like that. Well, you know, God speaks to His people. Shazam.
Yes, He does.
And if He really is, through the gifts of the Spirit, moving in us and through us, then we should take seriously what He has to say. Being flippant about these things, dismissing them. I mean, no, you need to give honor to the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
And that's what I want this church to be. Honor for the Word of God and honor for the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And I tell you, we can't go wrong if we do that.
That's right.
That's an individual decision. It's not just up to the pastor. Can I have an amen?
Right.
The gift of discernment of spirits, what we've talked about in more detail. It's the anointing for authority. You're able to discern the source of a manifestation, an utterance, a doctrine, a teaching. Remember that there are only three sources. There are only three spiritual forces in the universe. General categories, of course. There's the human spirit, say the human spirit. There's the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit. And there's demonic spirits. And of course, when you have discerning of spirits, unlike general discernment, it focuses specifically on the source, the nature, the origin, and the integrity of that. And then, of course, God can give you more details about that. For example, if you're dealing with a human spirit, God can show you that you're dealing with a Jezebel spirit or a spirit of offense. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
These are things you don't want in your life. But to understand what's going on. And so a lot of times people will see some manifestation, assume automatically that's either some demon or whatever. Sometimes it is a demon. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's God. And the only way you're going to know is by what? Discerning of spirits. Literally discerning them. And so important in these last days. Now, to bridge that, and you read Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 5 and other places, you find out that when you feed on the Word of God, you develop and cultivate a general discernment about you. Isaiah prophesied there is coming a day when men would call good evil and evil good. General discernment gives you the ability to call right from wrong, amen, error from what is true, dark from what is light, on a wide variety of issues. discerning of spirits deals specifically with the origin of utterance of manifestation of things that are out there and invisible and something you can hear and something you can actually see. I recommend that you cultivate both general discernment. Said, I'm a word person.
I am a word person.
In other words, the more you read the word, the more you become acquainted with this teaching about righteousness, the more you're going to have general discernment in your life. And I'm telling you, church, you have never needed general discernment more than you do right now.
Amen.
And you can have more if you just stay in the Word of God. Stay out of the Word of God. It's not going to work for you. The discerning of the Spirit has nothing to do with you being in the Word of God. It has to do with, in a flash, the Holy Spirit sovereignly gives you understanding about where that thing came from. See the difference? We'll explain that more when we talk about the gift of faith. But understand, there's a difference between what you cultivate through spiritual formation, devotion, amen, immersion in the Word of God and prayer. It's different from what the Holy Spirit sovereignly gives you in that moment in a flash. Those are things that are works of the Spirit. You have a lot to say with how much general discernment you have. Look at somebody and say, don't be a spiritual dum-dum. Stay in the Word of God. We can't afford to be dumb, can we? Amen? Uh-huh. Moving on to these power gifts, let's talk about the gift of faith. What an amazing thing this is. And what I endeavor to do when I'm talking about the gifts is make it as simple as possible for people to grab onto and understand. Very simply put, this is the supernatural ability by the Holy Spirit for you to believe instantly anything He's put before you. So you walk into a room and you're dealing with something that would boggle the imagination. Because you have a gift of faith dropped on you, it doesn't matter what you see or hear or feel, what they're saying. The gift of faith gives you the automatic ability to believe and to have what we call faith is basically spiritual courage. Say that would be spiritual courage. You know you have that when there is a courage there. There is a boldness there. I've walked into hospital rooms with bells going off and whistles going off and rooms filled with people trying to do, code blue. I mean, just everything going crazy. And in the natural, you would be moved by that. When a gift of faith is in operation, they might as well be playing some elevator song. It doesn't make any difference. You're in a place of peace and great confidence. I've had this done to me. I mentioned this before in this context, so I'll mention it again, but I was called to Jenny Stewart's, one afternoon, and one of our young married ladies, little boy, he was like, I guess he was probably 18 months, something like that, 20 months, was in the hospital. He was in intensive care. He was going from 104 to 106 in temperature, and nothing they did would bring that temperature down. He wouldn't let his mom hold him, wouldn't let the nurses tend to him, nothing. I'd been praying in the Holy Spirit about some things and meditating on healing, and I was, probably in terms of general faith comes by hearing, can have an amen.
Amen.
Walked in there, and the first thing that happened is just there was like an indignation that the devil would pick on this little guy. And I literally walked into that hospital room. I picked him up. He instantly stopped crying. All the health professionals and the kid and people related to this family are just like, what in the world is that all about? I rebuked that fever just like Jesus did with Peter's, I hear him saying to you.
Yes.
And that instantly, she was delivered from that. I mean, he within a half hour went from 104, 106 to a normal temperature.
Amen.
That's the power of a gift of faith. Now, I'd like to tell you that, yeah, mighty man of faith walked in there and it was faith coming by hearing. It was a gift of faith.
That's right.
I had absolutely no doubt whatsoever that child was going to be delivered from this thing. Last I heard, he had served many years in the military. As healthy as he can possibly be, has his own kids right now and doing very well. But the devil tried to take him out.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying to you? The spirit of, walking in a gift of faith. And anybody in this room, any moment in time, God can do this in your life.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying you don't do what this church teaches you to do. Cultivate a spirit of faith. Faith cometh by hearing.
That's right.
But there's a distinction there between what I can cultivate by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. My general faith for life and for victory, amen. Now, the Bible tells us this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what?
Our faith.
Not the gift of faith.
No.
Your victory is not going to come from the gift of faith.
No.
He's releasing the gift of faith because he's on a mission to touch somebody's life. And you happen to be the tool in his hand he wants to use in that particular situation. So the gift of faith is not something that I create. It's not something I cultivate. It's not something I can even call. I can desire them and ask God to use me, but it's ultimately up to him to do that. The Spirit of God gives severally as he what? As he will. But it does help for you to put yourself in a position to say, you know what? I want God to use me. Is there anybody here that wants God to use them in a gift of faith? Would you like to walk in and believe the unbelievable? What man says can't be done, boom, there it is.
Amen.
That's how precious these things are.
That's right.
And I understand when I begin to meditate and share these things, why the devil opposes a spirit-filled life so much. Yeah. Why does he say these things have passed away? Because the devil wants people to believe they passed away.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they haven't passed away.
They're
here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a day when full glorification takes place. There won't be that need. But on this earth, we've never needed the gifts of the Spirit more.
Amen.
Say, Lord, use me in the gift of faith. So again, differentiating your mind, an instantaneous ability to believe the unbelievable versus faith cometh by hearing. But does it hurt for you to be walking around because you've been in the Word of God and your faith is strong and walk in a gift of faith at that moment? Doesn't hurt anything, does it, church? Thank you, Father. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Going back to this anointing, the anointing on the gift of faith is what I like to call the anointing for courage or for spiritual courage. You will probably recall that that's the very thing that God dealt with Joshua about.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in his shoes. His mentor is gone. His man of God is gone. He's it. Now he's got millions of people to lead militarily, in terms of substance, in terms of sanitation, in terms of transportation. It's all on him. And you can see the heart of God because God goes right into the midst of that thing to say, Joshua, be what? Be strong. Be courageous. In other words, you're going to need that spirit of faith about you consistently. But you see, Peter, in that same regard, one minute he's denying the Lord with even cussing. Now Jesus is raised from the dead. Pentecost has happened. Everybody say,
thank God
for the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
He's now preaching to the same people in earshot that put Jesus on the cross in the first place. What happened to him? Well, we know a lot of these things enter into it, the resurrection, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you have to understand, too, that God is not saying that they did things differently than what he's expecting us to do now. In fact, how Jesus did what he did and how the apostles did what they did, he's still doing it the same way by the Holy Spirit. In reality, it's not acts of the apostles, it's acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's why it's wrong-headed and just plain dumb to say that the power and the gifts and the miracles and the healings passed away with the apostles. The apostles didn't give them, so they can't take them away.
Amen.
The question is the Holy Spirit still alive? Is the Holy Spirit still moving? And if he is, then the same thing applies today.
Right.
And he can make us courageous just like he made Peter courageous.
Yeah.
This reed of a man, this little grass of a man, piece of grass, turns into this rock because of things like the gift of faith. You see it in other applications in Scripture, but I want to encourage you, you know, every single day, Lord, is there a need? Am I going to run across an impossible situation? Lord, what soldier in the kingdom of God do you have today that's going to go by in that situation and I'll instantly be able to believe for deliverance for that person? Let me help you out here. Y'all still here tonight?
Yes.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit can be administered to others through any person of faith. If you're born again, spirit-filled, anybody in this room can share the baptism, pray for them, and the Lord will baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Why? He doesn't, you don't ask him for bread and he gives you a stone.
Right.
He doesn't do the switcheroo. Does that make sense? You don't ask for the Holy Spirit and he allows some demon to come in. That's man's thinking. That's man's fear coming out. by training yourself and going over the scriptures about the baptism narratives, and walking that out, faith will come and God can use you. But I will tell you, the first several times you pray for somebody, very much the gift of faith, you know, is involved in ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to others.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you got a town full of religious people who need the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm going to try that again. There's a town full of what? Religious people. Yeah. And they need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's not about being better or less. It's about being empowered.
Amen.
And I've interviewed people that served God for years, district officials, denominational officials, who said, I've never personally led anybody into the baptism. Well, guess what? They could have, except for the mental model that says that's only for special people. The evangelist blowing through town, the missionary coming back. No, every born-again, spirit-filled person can share the baptism with other people. Right. Not only can you, you should be.
All right.
Yes.
You're like those lepers who found out that when you left outside the city gate and said, you know what, we stay here, we're going to die. We can't go in the city, they'll kill us. So let's just go on out there where the camp is and see what happens. And guess what? When they got there, God had driven the enemy out and left the plunder.
That's right.
You and I are walking around with the precious Holy Spirit and keeping it to ourselves. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that revelation. We should not be keeping what we have found to ourselves. And God will use you. Now, you might be shocked the first time He does. That's okay. But at least step out and let God use you. It's a wonderful thing. Say the gift of faith. The gift of working in miracles. What an amazing thing. Again, this is why it's stupid to say God doesn't do miracles anymore, because man didn't do the miracles. The Holy Spirit did the miracles in the New Testament, and He's still doing them today. I said He's still doing miracles today. The working of miracles, it's pretty much what you would think it is. It is a suspension of natural laws overridden by God's authority to accomplish something supernatural. Now, oftentimes, it can be in the realm of supernatural protection. It can be in the realm of supernatural provision. How many times did you see God provide for widows in the Old Testament, or provide for the prophets supernaturally? Amen? You just think those birds just flew by on their own. No, that oil and that meal just kept replenishing itself by itself. No, Jesus with the fishes and the loaves. You know, those are some fishes and loaves. Amen? Timothy does a great teaching on that, talking about those as crackers and sardines. We're not even talking about big fish. We're not talking about some record tuna. We're talking about a little boy who had crackers and sardines and fed, depending on the commentator, up to 25, 30, 50,000 people. It doesn't really make any difference if it's 5,000 or 100,000. You don't feed 10, 15, 20,000 people with some sardines and crackers. So what happened? Broke the bread, gave thanks, had them sit down, and they distributed and they distributed and they distributed. And not only did they all have their fill, what happened? Picked up 12 basketfuls. How many know that boy went home with a blessing for his household? Well, there were 12 baskets, one for apostles. The apostles didn't sow the seed.
No.
The little boy sowed the seed.
That's right.
The little boy gets the harvest.
That's right.
Some of y'all just had a revelation right there. The apostles just carried it home for him. Mom, been shopping. It's a miracle. Years ago, after Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Ministry was created, they were having a camp and a meeting, a spiritual time together and fellowship in a state park. And what they had done is they had opened the fire and they brought a big old pot, you know, like you would see out in old times in the West, nice big pot. And they put all this canned stuff in there. They had meat in there and cans of vegetables, whatever, and filled it up. And dozens of people ate. And then dozens and dozens of more people came. Then some outlaw bikers came by and some recreational bikers came by. Here's the thing. No one ever put any more food in the pot. It just kept supplying and supplying and supplying and supplying. And if you're not careful, you're sitting there thinking, oh, I just don't know if I believe that. That's your problem. I'm a believer.
Amen.
When I hear about a healing or a miracle or a testimony or a provision, my first thought is, I doubt that. No, I believe that. Amen. Doubt your doubts and believe the Word of God. He's the same yesterday.
Amen.
I know what some of you are thinking. I need that pot in my house, bless God. The way things are getting so expensive, glory to God. Does He do that?
Yes.
Yes. So many stories, you know, through the years of supernatural provision. In your mind, it may be hard to distinguish between things like working in miracles, you know, versus, somebody receiving a healing or a restoration. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But, having a healing from some disease or something like that is a little bit different from somebody who is born without a brain, but then God gives them a brain.
Yes. Yeah.
We're talking about the realm of the miraculous. So there can be some overlap in terms of miracles, in terms of when it deals with the physicality of God's creation, that kind of a thing. But we often will talk about, at that level, things like creative miracles. And I've seen some. And I'm telling you, they're real.
Yes, they are.
We wouldn't call somebody being raised from the dead necessarily just a healing.
No.
That's a little bit more than just a healing.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a complete miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise
and you say, well, we're going to see more of it. Get ready.
Amen. Yeah.
It's been happening around the world in greater measure than it has been in the States, but get ready.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Who's willing to let the Lord use you in performing a miracle?
Yes.
Now, if you have some Catholicism in you, you're going tilt right now. Because if I perform a miracle, then they'll canonize me as a saint.
No, you're
already a saint.
That's right. Yes.
You don't have to perform a miracle to become a saint. Jesus was the result, amen, of us becoming the saints by the miracle of His raising from the dead.
Yes.
You're the recipient of sainthood. You don't earn sainthood. Say, I'm a saint.
I'm a saint.
Next time you joke about it, stop joking about it. You really are.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's true. Say, I'm a saint.
I'm a saint.
Well, then where's your halo?
You don't need a halo. You got the blood of Jesus. That's all you need.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You are sanctified by His blood.
Yes.
It's not what you did. And so with all respect, I don't need somebody to one day say that I am a saint. When the day I got born again, I became a saint.
Yes.
Amen.
Say it, I am.
I am
a saint. Now, religious people go, I don't know if I can say that or not, bless God. Religious people have a hard time saying that they're righteous. Because they don't understand it's not your righteousness. He took your sin and gave you His righteousness. You were made righteous by Him. Now, if He made you righteous, who are you to argue with the Creator? I wouldn't want to say I'm righteous. Well, then you're arguing with God. And then how you got into the mess in the first place? Arguing with God?
Amen.
Years ago, Brother Copeland had a song about I am the righteousness of God. You know, Christian stations wouldn't play it because they were so pickled in religion, they couldn't dare have somebody declaring I have been made righteous. Well, guess what? You have been. These are mind-renewing issues. And you believing that God could do a miracle anywhere, anytime is a mind-renewing issue. Well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not this. I'm not that. You just have to be a disciple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, which is better? One person in the history of a church where there was a miracle performed by the Holy Spirit, or every person in that church performing miracles by the Holy Spirit?
Praise
yeah.
God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Say it, I'm willing.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Say, Lord, use me.
Lord, use me.
I'm not the one that said to covet spiritual gifts. He wants you to earnestly desire them. Now, if God does something and you get a prideful issue, that's between you and the Lord. It will block the flow of that anointing in your life. Don't ever think that you. I heard my brother a little bit one time talking. He said, yeah, I was sitting on the front row and I was just raising my hand, praising God and singing. And all of a sudden, I started to think, man, I really, really sound good.
Oh,
I'm singing so good. That's my voice. Praise God. God's blessed me. And he said, the Spirit told him, you don't sound good. You're just harmonizing with the person next to you who can sing. That's what you do with spiritual gifts. You're harmonizing. But you're not it. There's no reason for you to what? Have pride in that situation. Many of the great revivals, you know, in the past several hundred years around the world have been broken up because of human pride. I could list them in this country. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you that when men get in the middle of things and pride gets involved, the Spirit of God will begin to lift. Stay humble. Amen. What about the gift of working of miracles? Or the gift of faith is that spiritual courage and ability to instantly believe the unbelievable. The gift of working of miracles, I understand it's the suspension of natural laws. Another example before I move on is, you know, Jesus told the disciples we're going to the other side. Did he mean it?
Yes.
Do you remember when they were in the middle of the water and the waves weren't being very nice and they're freaking out?
Yeah.
And here comes Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what happened when he finally stepped into the boat? He's about 3.5 miles out there in the middle of this body of water. And things, you know, instantly became peaceful. And what does the Bible say? I don't know if I believe it or not. Immediately they reached the other side. Forget about, you know, Aerotel and American Airlines and Southwest. Air Jesus.
Yeah.
Boom. Everybody say boom.
Boom.
They're at the other side. My sister got up one morning and thought, that's the strangest dream I ever had. I dreamed I went over to this friend who was all depressed and suicidal and having a really hard time. And I dreamt that I really ministered to her and there was some breakthrough. Except when she got a call later that day, she found out that the person she's talking about said that you were not at home. You were in my house talking to me.
Oh, wow.
Physically there. Translated. It shouldn't surprise you when you read in the book of Acts where Philip was translated from baptizing the Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Amen. Boom. About 10 miles from there to another location.
Yeah.
See, it's a mind-renewing issue. Raising the dead is not an issue whether it's true or not. It's a mind-renewing issue.
Yes.
Gotta get your mind out of the way and let the Holy Ghost, you know, do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
The working of miracles is the same way. Well, you know, Philip was a super apostle. Philip, first of all, was a believer who was made a deacon. He deeked. And he deeked well. He was over the administration of the food, amen, because there was a big war going on between the Gentiles and the Jewish widows, and he was part of that, man, full of faith and power. Yes, he had a testimony, but translation? He wasn't qualified for a translation because he was a super apostle.
No.
He was an obedient man.
That's it.
Amen. He left a wonderful revival to go meet with this Ethiopian. Ended up leading him to the Lord. History tells us this person who was part of Candace's administration, he went back and evangelized that nation. If God did it once in Ethiopia, how do you know he can do it again?
Yeah.
That's how powerful those divine appointments are. So I'm trying to tell you, those encounters by the Holy Spirit with you and somebody else can not just change a life for a family, can change a nation.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm willing.
I'm willing.
The gifts of healing, basically divine healing through localized healing gifts. This is what I like to call the anointing for restoration. The body gets sick, afflicted, ill, broken down, goes through trauma, some kind of an accident. God desires that his people be restored so they can fulfill their days on this earth and do the things they're called to do. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment.
Yep.
So look at somebody's spine and say, you will die
if
you're not raptured.
If you're not raptured.
Well, I'm sure I'm glad I came tonight to find I'm going to die. We didn't say tonight. But if you do, I'll do your service for you. With a long life.
That's right.
I'll satisfy thee. And then show you my salvation. Glory to God. But the bottom line is he has made provision not just for the saving of the soul, but for the preservation and the restoration of the body itself. Raise your hand if you've ever been healed.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
Have you ever been healed with somebody who prayed for you?
Yeah.
What did you experience? You were healed through the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healings, plural. Scripture indicates there are categories of healings. And what may happen for you is God may use you in certain categories. You know, with Hagin, it was cancer, or people who had a coma. And people going into a coma, they come out. They've been in there a long time. And through Brother Hagin's ministry, God would bring them out. There was not a cancer that was not healed in his ministry. And God could use you. Anybody interested in seeing those afflicted with cancer set free instantly by the power of God? You got to get your mind off of that super apostle, that evangelist, and that healing minister, and start seeing that God wants us to be doing these things. He wants to use us. Are you willing?
Yes.
Well, you know, you got to do your part. If God prompts you to pray for somebody, it's not just he's bored.
That's right.
And you can't be intimidated by where you go and pray for people. Are you okay? And yeah, you use some discretion when you're in a school, a public school. You use some discretion when you're in the workplace. When you're there to honor God, you need to do your job. You know, some Christians have gone there and held their Bible studies and they're praying instead of doing their job. You should pray in the Holy Ghost while you're doing your job. But there'll be opportunities for you to actually allow the Holy Spirit to use you. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they what? Shall recover. And this is happening through these plurality of gifts of healing. There's nothing in the body, let me put it this way, the gifts of healings cover every kind of affliction to every system in the human body.
Amen.
Nothing is exempt.
Praise the Lord.
Say, nothing is exempt. If you think that something is exempt because of difficulty, hardship, experience, then you have a mental model block. You need to yield to the truth that nothing is off limits. Right. If it's part of the human condition, it's healable.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
Amen. So if I'm the devil, I don't want people believing this stuff. I don't want people getting healed. And I'll use so-called God's servants to do it, to talk people out of these things. But I'm going to talk you out of them. I'm going to talk you into them. Amen. Does he heal?
Yes, he does.
Yes. Does he use natural things? Does he use medicine? Does he use lifestyle changes?
Yes.
But this is divine healing wrought by the Holy Spirit through a child of God. Amen. And sometimes when you're fighting something, you can't just lay hands on yourself and sometimes muster the faith to deal with it.
Yeah.
Smith Wigglesworth, while being pioneered for these by God, miracle after miracle, and healing after healing, sign and wonder, dealt with physical issues himself. Why would I say that? Because I'm tired of seeing God's people condemned because they have some issue in their life.
Yes.
You don't qualify for being used by God because you're perfect yet in terms of your character, your attitude, or even perfect in your body.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many people through the history of the church God has used who had physical issues in their own body. It shouldn't surprise you the devil would scream at them, well, you hypocrite, but they said the same thing to Jesus. You're the Son of God. Heal yourself. Come down off that cross. That same spirit is alive today. Now, I'll tell you what it is. The devil wants you not to minister to other people because you got something going on in your body. Listen, you having perfect health does not qualify you to heal people. Listen to me. And you having an affliction in your body does not disqualify you from being used by God.
That's right.
Let him use you.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, they're everywhere. Who's going to minister to them if the so-called spirit-filled church doesn't? And I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, if it be thy will.
No.
We know what his will is.
Yes.
Why would there be gifts of healings if it wasn't his will to heal?
Yeah.
You would think it would be gifts of affliction.
Mm-hmm.
Gifts of infirmity. No. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and how he went around, what? Doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That tells you who put the oppression on and who takes it off. Who put the infirmity on and who takes it off. Here's a shock for you and for me. Jesus did what he did the same way I'm talking about tonight.
That's right.
He didn't do it through his own divinity. He did these things by the operation of the Holy Spirit. He taught by the Spirit, lived by the Holy Spirit, ministered by the Holy Spirit, healed by the Holy Spirit, did miracles by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why is it important to know that? Because if we just think it's about his divinity, then we'll just sit back and ignore everything he's taught us about moving and flowing in the supernatural. Glory to God. Say it, anointed.
Anointed.
Anointed for restoration. Said anointed for restoration. I tell you, the stories are just numerous. Over a number of years, we've seen God do so many cool things. And yeah, you know, pastors pray and evangelists pray and apostles pray and prophets pray. Yeah, people get healed. But this is a day where God is not looking for the fivefold ministry to be the exclusive operation of the gifts of the Spirit. That was never God's will. That is a model and a creation of man. Clergy, laity. Clergy does this publicly and operates, and the rest of the people just watch and clap and just say, we're spectators. No, this is being inverted in these last days. We are to teach and support and empower and release. And God's wanting to use you to go out and do these things. Yeah. I just got a clip of hearing Dr. Cho's testimony, who built the largest church in the history of the world. Yeah. From abject poverty, war-torn Korea, what the people there at that time went through is just mind-boggling. To see how God has blessed today and see the contrast between North and South Korea. If you want to know about the blessing and curse, look at that peninsula. Look at that part of the world, and you will see it. Now, God's not done. He loves North Korea just as much as He loves South Korea and just as much as He loves you. But to hear this man talk about being 17 years old, his dad a devout Buddhist, he's a devout Buddhist. When his dad would pray, he would pray. He says dad was serious about it. He was more nominal. At 17 years old, has tuberculosis. And at that point in time, guess what? You just don't get healed through medicine or through any other means. And so there he is. He said, I'm bedridden now, and, you know, bleeding, fever, you know, coughing up blood, and I'm staring, counting all the spots and things on the ceiling, and he begins to cry out to Buddha. He says, 10 years I've served you, heal me, do something. And this went on for some time and nothing happened. And he changed his prayer at that point to, if there's a God in the universe that can do something, then I cry out to you. And what God did, He sent a little schoolgirl from a Christian school to His home where she began to talk to Him about Jesus. One little girl.
All right.
And one afflicted young man, 17 years old. Don't ever, ever think that you're not important in the kingdom of God. And she would come and he would reject Jesus. She would come again. He would reject Jesus. And eventually, he began to warm up to it and began to cry out. And he prayed in simple terms. He called him Mr. Jesus. Mr. Jesus. That's how he prayed. And that man was born again. He didn't have any knowledge. He had no Bible knowledge. He had no revelation of how he's responding. But all he said was, I had this great peace, and I just began to get up and jump up and down. I was just filled with joy and peace. Didn't know how to describe it. Didn't know how to really relate to it. He also found out that he didn't have TB in remission. God took the TB 100% away from his life. He had promised God he would serve him if something happened. God revealed himself to him. But how did it start? He didn't get on a telephone with a Christian school and say, hey, you got any women and girls you can send over here and help me? Some little girl got a word of knowledge, an impression to go to that man. And that man built a church as big as 1.5 million people. And not just that church, but the entire nation affected by, listen, one little girl.
Nice.
Yeah. Say it with me, one.
One.
Say it, one.
One.
Little girl. He gets saved. He gets healed. He begins to become a leader in you know, diving into the revelation of prayer. And receiving from God the miracles that were done in his life and through his life, it's just an amazing story. But somebody had to go.
Yeah.
Are there any somebodies here?
Yes.
How did she know to go? You think her Buddhist father asked her to stop by?
I doubt it.
No. No. She got an impression, and she did what the Lord told her to do. Could you imagine her reward?
Yeah.
He just didn't affect Korea. He's affected the whole world. Amen. Faithful. Glory to God. I want to spend next week talking to you about these vocal gifts, because there is some instruction that's necessary on the proper use and demonstration of tongues with interpretation of the prophecy. But 1939, Smith Wigglesworth, this is right before World War II really broke out, and we all know the results of that. But Lester Sumrall was really discipled and mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. And he wasn't going to be around much longer after this. But before he left, he entrusted Lester Sumrall with what he saw. Everybody say, thank God. He shared it. And World War II was ready to break out. And the testimony is, with tears rolling down his face, Smith cried, saying, I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished. And as he continued to pray, he cried, I see it, I see it. Brother Sumrall asked, what do you see? What do you see? Now listen very carefully to what he saw. Because by the time I'm done reading this, you're going to understand what the Holy Spirit has orchestrated for these last days. He said, I see a healing revival coming after World War II. It'll be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be. And there was a healing revival right after the war. Massive healings all over the world. Ministries like Oral Roberts and others, and many you've never heard of, that were faithful in different continents of the planet because we didn't have media access to what they were doing. A massive healing revival took place. God wanted his people healed after so many people were killed and maimed. He continued to prophesy. He said, I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the charismatic revival. God raised up people during the era, like the full gospel businessmen and others, men like John Osteen getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the 70s and 80s, millions of people were baptized in the Holy Ghost across all denominational lines. I was raised a Lutheran. I'm just one with that story. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Now he's seeing this. It's 1939. He's seeing what happened in the 70s and the 80s. He continued to prophesy. Brother Wigglesworth continued, I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks.
Hallelujah.
You can't make this up.
Yeah.
He didn't have a reference point for this kind of church. He says, they're coming with notebooks, and he said, there'll be a wave of teaching on faith and healing. We call ourselves Charismatics, Pentecostals, and Word of Faith people. Why? Because the instruction, the teaching ministry is so important that we're prepared for what God has. What? He perfectly saw the healing revival and it came. He saw the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and it came. He saw the instruction phase in these last days. And it came all from 1939. But then listen to what he says finally. Then he prophesied after that. He said, after that, he started sobbing. I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. What's the precious fruit of the earth? It's souls. Now, how many know he's already 3 for 3? I said he's already 3 for 3. I have every confidence he's right about this as well. And the reason is this entered into my spirit years ago, and I have been declaring it and prophesying it and stating it. And if you've been here a while, you know this is true, but this is what he said. I see the last day of revival coming. It's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. So, if somebody wants to criticize us, fine, we're in good company. I said he's 3 for 3. He's about to go 4 for 4. Are you willing to be a part of that?
Yes.
Well, listen to this. It's going to be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. And the world has seen some great things. It's going to be, not my words, it's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out. They'll bring the sick to churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Did you see that? The qualifier is not perfection, where you allow the Holy Ghost to move.
Yes.
Would it be all right if God raised you up to be one of those places where people can come in here and walk out the door healed through the gifts of the Spirit?
Yes.
I have personally been saying now for years, this is not a revival of a platform. It's not a revival of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. It is a revival among the people by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just say this. There are not many congregations better trained and ready than you are right now.
Amen.
Step into what God has for you. Step into it. He was right about the healing revival. He was right about the baptism. He was right about the word of faith. And he's right about this. But look at that. Where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. They value, esteem, honor, and will yield to him. Say, that's me. Did you know that Smith Wigglesworth was prophesying about you? Love that man of God. He's one of the ones I want to talk to one day. I say, oh, I bet when he was ministering, all the Pentecostals loved him. No, they didn't hate him. They didn't just celebrate him. He was gone. Because they found out how accurate and true and powerful he really was. And for you people that are older than 50, he didn't even have a miracle in his life until he was like 52 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Turn to somebody and respond and say, there's now hope for you. Praise the Lord. It's official. You know that age is a temporal construct anyway.
That's right.
Doesn't exist in heaven. And Keith Moore had a visitation in heaven. He saw his dad there. His dad was looked like he was about 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Amen. So if you've got like 6 months left, then that's plenty of time to get a whole bunch of people healed.
Yep, that's it.
But it's going to take a shift. Get your eyes off of so-called healing ministers.
That's right.
And get your eyes, what? On the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And let him use you. Glory to God. Anybody willing out there?
Yes.
Yes. Say, willing.
I'm willing.
And obedient.
And obedient.
Say it, Brother Wigglesworth. Got the healing revival right. You got the outpouring of the Holy Ghost right. You got the revelation of the word of faith right.
I believe
he's got the end time revival right too. The gifts of the Spirit. He gives them severally as he wills, but you and I should what? Covet earnestly. Desire them. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap if you can.